Okay, so we wish her a refuah shleima to Sophie bat Orit, Soch Shar Chole Yisrael. Okay, Lekker Avraham, page 121. The title of the piece is Kol Rega Olam Chadash Legamri. Every moment is an entirely new world. So again, we spoke a little bit about this in the previous piece, but let's go a bit further. He starts with a quote from the Chaim Maharan, a biographical work of Rabbi Nachman's life and his teachings. Amar shehu mischadish b'chol rega v'rega ad shelo motzi hevel mipiv below his chadshus. It's a pretty amazing line. Rabbi Nachman said that he was in a constant state of his chadshus in every single moment, to the degree that lo motzi hevel mipiv, he did not breathe out a single breath without it being entirely new. Meaning, every breath of life was a totally new thing for Nachman. Now, maybe he did that with Kavana, and we do that without Kavana, but I guess the same thing is true for us. Every breath that you've ever taken, or will take, or are taking right now, is an entirely unique moment in time, which is a very powerful idea. If you think of the Torah's description of creation of man, the Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, that Hashem blew into a person a spirit of life, that's how Adam went from being a clump of dirt to being a human being. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed our bodies to mimic that experience every second of our life, which happens to be a super awesome idea. All the more so if you meditate on it, if you really think about it. That every time I take a breath, it's as if I'm receiving, as it were, once again, my neshama. The same way that Hashem blew into Adam Arishon, a spirit of life. So our body is constantly mimicking that process. As I take a breath, I'm being recreated, and I breathe out, and now I exist. That's why breath is such an important part of Kavana, being able to be mindful of one's breath. I'll call Nishima Nishima Tahalalka, like it says in the Medrash. For every breath you take, a person should say, Hallelujah, thank you Hashem. You've recreated me with each breath. So Rabbi Nachman Mamish lived that way. He felt a sense of his chadshus in every single breath. Halavai, we should feel a sense of his chadshus from one day to the next, which is what we spoke about last week, right? Hayom and Bekola Tishma, how every day is a unique world, a unique opportunity. But really, every second, every rega, is a unique opportunity. The Sfas Emes, when he was a little boy, as we know, his grandfather raised him, the Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe. And the reason the Chiddush Arim raised him is because the Sfas Emes' father passed away relatively young. The Chiddush Arim lost all of his children in his lifetime, which is really pretty unfathomable. I think they say there were 13 children that passed away in his lifetime. Only one of them made it to adulthood, that was the Sfas Emes' father. But he also died relatively young. He died in his own father's lifetime, in the Chiddush Arim's lifetime. The Chiddush Arim passed away in 1866. So the Sfas Emes was raised by his grandfather and eventually would become the Rebbe in 1870 and would be the Ger Rebbe from 1870 until the Sfas Emes passed away in 1905. It's just cool to think the Sfas Emes lived in the 1900s. Like, I don't know. When were you guys born? How old are you people? 99, 2000. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, so for old people like myself, I also was born in the 1900s. I lived in the 1900s. I was born in 1981. But it's just amazing to think the Sfas Emes was not that long ago. Anyway, so the Sfas Emes, when he was a kid, he had a Kotzker Chosid as his Rebbe. And his grandfather, Chiddush Arim, said there are three conditions to be the Rebbe of the Sfas Emes. Okay, don't try this at home. Number one, you have to learn with him 18 hours a day. All right. 18 hours a day. Number two, you have to start learning every day before sunrise, which I guess if you're doing 18 hours a day, those kind of go hand in hand. You know, how else are you going to get at it? But it's very important to his grandfather that he starts the day the right way, that we're up bright and early before sunrise. Like it says, to be ma'orah the shachar, not to be woken up by the day, but to wake up the day. And lastly, the third thing that he told him, he said, you have to have a chiddush every day. Every single day you have to have a chiddush in learning. You can't just, run through things as they are. have to be machadish. It was very important to him that the Sfas Emes should be trained in the way of chidushim. And the Sfas Emes, his chidushim are unbelievable. He's known for his kalach of chidush. In fact, there's another story that when the Sfas Emes was a little baby, I think they say that Divrei Chaim came to visit the Chidush Arim, and the Chidush Arim said, I wanna show you a chiddush. So he figured he's gonna, you know, show him something that he was working on in the sugya or something he saw in a sefer, and he takes him into the back room, and he points to the Sfas Emes, his little baby, in his crib, and he says, "This is the chiddush I want to show you. Sfas Emes is gonna be a big chiddush." But he was trained in a way of chiddush. So we have to be looking for chidushim. We have to not only be passive recipients of chidushim, but we have to be trying to be machadish. Again, machadish doesn't mean you necessarily have to have a vart on the parsha or a good question on the particular line of Gemara. Right? A chidush means to live with a sense of ischadshus. And Rabbi Nachman's saying that every breath that a person takes is really an experience of what? Of chidush, of recreation and renewal. Every moment of a person's life is what is its own world and is an entirely new thing. It's an inyan chadash lagamrei. Every second is a new thing. Ein sha zo doma lezo. This moment is not like that moment. Or if you translate sha as hour, this hour is not like that hour. Ve'ein rega echa doma lechaveiro b'shum panim ve'ofen. And this moment is not comparable to any other moment in history. Never was, never will be. The people who are in this room, in this place, at this time, this is a unique moment in history. So we could sleep through it, or we could be energized by the fact that this is, we are literally leaving a stamp on time right now. What does it look like? Well, it's what we make of it. Kach chosev Rav Chaim Vital zechusi again aleinu. Rav Chaim Vital in his writings emphasizes this point, that every moment is a unique experience within time. Kol rega bria chadasha lagamri. You got the new copy? Kol rega bria chadasha lagamri. Every moment, we're in the third line. Every moment is an entirely new creation. Ve'uvda zu gam yedua lachach mehatchuna ayod meschach mas mahalich ha-galgalim va-kochavim. And while this is true on a spiritual level, it's also true on a very simple, I mean, maybe not so simple, right? But it's true on a natural level, on a physical level. He says it's known to those who understand how to interpret. I'm not talking about spiritual interpretations. Basic understanding of astronomy, of how the stars and the planets rotate, the revolutions, right, of the heavenly bodies. Those who study it know that the positioning, the precise positioning of the world, even though yes, there are patterns that are followed with regard over the course of a day, over the course of a season, there are certain patterns. But every position, so to speak, in history, every moment in history, is a unique presentation of reality. Shemaymar ha'olam v'hagalgalim mishtana tamid b'chol eis v'rega b'ofen acher nifla. That the positioning of the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Constellations.
Yeah, the constellations, right? The constellations, the rotations, again, of the heavenly bodies. It's mishtana tamid. It's constantly changing at every moment. Ba'ofen achar nifla, in a wondrous way. I just realized we have a Chanukah Torah here. I didn't realize, I mean, there's a lot of Chanukah Torah here, but I hadn't, when I prepared the piece last night, I wasn't really thinking about Chanukah, but there's a lot of Chanukah Torah here. And Chanukah is very much a Yom Tov of Chid. It's a Yom Tov of being Mosif Aholich, of increasing the light. Never satisfied. If I have one nair, I want two. If I have two on eight, I should have nine. But eight, we know, again in the writings of the Maharal and many other Bali Machshava, eight is the concept of Lamala Menateva. That's why the sign for infinity is an eight on its side. Because eight represents this ability to just go on forever. Right? So eight is sort of, in theory we could go on forever in a Chaname. Right? We could keep adding lights and keep Chanukah all year round. Over the course of our entire lives, obviously it would be a little bit, challenging. Right? But the idea of going up to eight means we go to eight and then we don't stop. We just understand that the goal is to forever be in a state of Mosif V'Holich. It's interesting. I don't know what made me tell you about the Sfas Emes this morning. But the Sfas Emes actually writes that Yavan is gematria gal-gal. So Hashem doesn't bring a lot of gematrias. It's very simple gematrias, a couple gematrias here and there. So Hashem says that Yavan, the enemy of Hanukkah, the Syrian Greeks, Yavan is gematria 66, which is the same as what? As gal-gal. As gal-gal. What's the idea of gal-gal? We just had the word four times on the page. Gal-gal means the revolutions of the constellations. The natural rotations of things. The patterns of life, the scientific realities that seem to repeat themselves time and time again. But what we're learning is that a precise understanding of the science, and although more so a precise understanding of the spiritual realities, is that no two things are ever exactly the same. How many times have you davened the same Shemona Esrei? The answer is zero. What do you mean? I say the same words every day, three times a day. No, you don't. The context of how you say it, the situation in which you find yourself when you say it, the location that you say it. What do you mean? I stood in the same spot for Mincha 3 days in a row. Yeah, but the world has changed over completely. But I'm davening for the same thing as yesterday. Yeah, well, maybe wearing a different shirt today. That also is part of it. Right? Maybe you had a bigger breakfast this morning than yesterday. All these fine details, right? Again, in the simplest of way, are reminding us that every second, every experience is an entirely unique experience. And that's why the whole avodah of Hanukkah is, again, to what? We defeat Yavan, which is gematria galgal, because Yavan wants us to just be, so to speak, trapped within the natural sciences. Maharal writes at length in his Ner Mitzvah that Yavan's main battle is not against the physical nation of the Jewish people. It's against Torah. Yavan hates Torah. Because Torah is l'malam and ateva. After counting 7 weeks of 7 days, Sfiras HaOmer, at the beginning of the eighth week, eight represents l'malam and ateva, we receive the Torah, it's Shavuos. It's beyond. Yavan doesn't like this concept of beyond. We like man-made wisdom to the highest madrega, but not beyond that. And the Jewish people are, how do we refer to ourselves in the songs of Hanukkah? What do we call ourselves? B'nai? What do we call ourselves? B'nai what? B'nai Bina. Right? B'nai Bina. Bina is one more than Galgal. It's one more than Yavan. Yavan is 66. Bina is 67. And of course, if you count the Sviros from the bottom up, starting from Malchus, right? What number in the Sviros is Bina? It's the eighth. Because it represents something that's L'malam and Ateva. Like I told you last week, right? Shemen and Neshama. Oil always rises up. That's why the miracle was oil. That's why it was 8 days. Okay, so this whole world of overcoming the mundane and the regularity of life, the naturalness to life, is what Hanukkah is all about. It's a miracle that was l'malam and ateva. On Purim, there was no l'malam and ateva miracle. At Purim, we fought for our lives and we won. Hanukkah, we saw a miracle. We saw the midway point of Bayis Sheni. We saw an open miracle. A menorah that continued to burn for 8 days. Unbelievable thing. And therefore, Svasemis and others also explain, that's the whole avoda. When do we light the Ner Hanukkah? When's the time to light the Ner Hanukkah? From the time the sun goes down? Achetichla regel minashuk. Exactly, again, exactly what that means in halacha, we have to figure out. But achetichla regel minashuk means what? Literally, until the feet leave the marketplace. But regel means what? The Sfarim say regel is a lesson of regilus. Try to get the regilus, so to speak, the regularity out of your life. When you feel like the same day is being lived over and over and over and over again. I've never seen the movie Groundhog Day, or is that like way before your time? I mean, I know, you saw every movie, so that's what I learned last week. Bucky in movies. Yeah? So when you keep waking up and you feel like it's the same day over and over and over and over again, what? It is a great musar in the movie. It is a great musar. Rabbi Nachman beat them to it, but yeah, it's a great musar. It is a great musar. It is a great musar. So that's what Hanukkah is. Hanukkah is a victory over regularity. Tichla regal, remove the regal from the shuk. Dafka from the shuk. Because the shuk means, you know, like the shuk is the marketplace. The shuk is just like going about my daily activities. Nothing is regular. That's what Torah teaches. That's what a person with an neshama who realizes that every breath is a recreation of the world, nothing is regular. Every Shabbos in time is unique. Every tefillah is unique. Every second is unique. Every word of Torah is unique. Right? Every time you sit down to eat food is unique. And we'll see an unbelievable idea in this piece. if I stop talking and just start reading. So let's start reading. Kamo kein hanoled berega ze mazlo shona ad lamaod mizeh shenoled berega echad acharav. Imagine two people, he says, born 1 second apart. Mamish, a different metzias. A person who's nolad berega ze, his mazel is going to be different than the mazel of the one who's born a second after him. V'gam im nolda ba'osa rega mamish. And if you'll say, Rav Yaakov Eir Shechter, what if they're born at the exact same second? Mishtana mazlam. Their mazel is still going to be different. Their spiritual genetic makeup is going to be different. You know why? Im noldu b'shnei makomos shonim bolam. They're born in two different places in the world. Right. Well, what if they're both born in, I don't know, Englewood Hospital at the same time? Well, one's born on the second floor, one's born on the third floor. And one had this doctor, one had that doctor. Right? And one's mother labored for, 10 hours, and one mother's labored for 45 minutes. And popped the baby out very quickly. I don't know. Every situation is different. This is true, again, even with regard to what? To physical wisdom, to natural wisdom, to olam hazeh realities. Again, all the more so when you factor in what's happening at any given moment spiritually. So all the more so when I consider the arrangement of the worlds al pi kabbalah, because the heavenly worlds beyond this world that we can't even see, which are constantly being rearranged, what are tzaddikim doing when they're davening for so long? What they're doing is that they're trying to position themselves and to line up their tefillos in accordance with whatever is happening way beyond. Things that most people don't know anything about and don't know how to see. And the tzaddikim are tapping into those shinuyim and understanding that, the way to meditate on the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is different on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and on a Tuesday. And it's different for a Shachris and different for a Mincha. Kamuva kol ze be'etz chayim. All this is found in the writings of the Arizal. Next paragraph. Uvashar kavanos inyan shinu hatfilos. In the Arizal's shar kavanos, in the section of the differences and the changes of prayers, says Rav Chaim Vital, v'lo od. Ela should be a mehachol atzam yeshinoi gadol bein tefilas yom zeh letefilas yom shel achav. Rav Chaim Vital says, and it's not just different kavanas. If you're davening on a Pesach, you're davening on a Shavuos. I had lunch with someone the other day. He was talking about the lamenting a little bit the experience of having contact with tzaddikim and seeing how everything they do is purposeful, and feeling frustrated by his inability, or maybe the world's inability, most people's inability to even realize it. To even know that something different is happening. Let alone to know how to tap into it. So I told them, I was talking to one of the Rebbeim in Yeshiva the other day, one of the older Rebbeim in Yeshiva, and he said to me, one of Rav Soloveitchik's great contributions, this person was saying, in terms of his own understanding of the holidays, of the Yom Tov, he said one of Rav Soloveitchik's remarkable chidushim and an important impact in his own life was Rav Soloveitchik's ability to explain how each Yom Tov had a different kedushas hayom. That it wasn't just Yom Tov is Yom Tov, but there's a different feel to a Pesach and a Sukkot, right? They're both Yom Tov. They're governed by the same, so to speak, halachos of Yom Tov. Right? But the way that a person experiences one Yom Tov is different than another. But he felt that Rav Soloveitchik was very good at capturing the essence of the kedushas hayom. So I was thinking to myself, for those who learn Chassidus, right? This is. I mean, again, the Rav had an unbelievable way of doing that. I'm not, God forbid, arguing or taking away from that, right? But if you learn a little B'nai Yisachar or any other Sfarim that talk about the Jewish holidays, you understand that, of course, there are major differences. And what was striking to you was that this Rav said to me, he said, I always wish we could figure out a way here in Yeshiva that the Chanukah Chagiga and the Purim Chagiga would have a different feel to it, to reflect the Yom Tov. Other than, different Nugunim, but dancing is dancing. And I was thinking to myself, yes and no, right? Meaning by a real tzaddikim, dancing is not, there's a way to dance on Purim, there's a way to dance on Chanukah. There's a way to dance by Simchas Torah, there's a way to dance by Simchas Beis Shoeva. And the tzaddikim will understand, again, the nuance of spiritual reality, tap into that. But he was saying, like, dancing is dancing. You can't, like, there's no different way to dance. I said, go to Stuchin. Like, go watch Rav Matl, and you'll see there are different ways to dance. It's a different avoda. I don't know what it is, but ani ma'amin, that it's a different thing, right? So that's what he's saying here. Realize that Monday and Tuesday, chol, are different. One tefillah to the next tefillah, they're different. V'lo ra'izeh k'ra'izeh. The nature of this one is not the nature of that one. It's a Gemara phrase. Ve'ein lecha shum tefila miyom. It's kedai to underline this line. Ve'ein lecha shum tefila miyom shenivra ha'olam ad sof ha'olam shetidam lechaverta klal v'ikar. There is no tefila from the beginning of time until the end of time. There are no two tefillas that will ever be the same. That can wake you up when you're like, you know, struggling to concentrate during a mincha. Say, wait a minute, this is the only time this mincha will ever be davened in history. I have to try a little harder. Gam al derech zeh hu inyan mitzvas kriya shma. When you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, those six words, it's a unique experience within world history. You know, we think of like big events and think like, wow, what would have been like to be there, you know? To see this or to see that. If we would realize the unique opportunities every second of our life offers us, the Kriya Shema you said this morning, Uva Erev B'chol Yom Tavid, or the Kriya Shema you're going to say tonight, is an entirely unique opportunity to declare Hashem in the world. You're like Avram Avinu. You're like Avram Avinu. What do you mean? I'm sitting in the base medrash with 100 other people saying Kriya Shema. Yeah, but in a certain sense, your Shema is entirely unique. So you're like Avram Ha'ivri, Echod Haya Avram, who took on the whole world with his Kriya Shema. There's no one in the world saying your Kriya Shema. So it's you or nobody. You may not ili mili. Lefisha b'chol kriya shma nasa davar mechudash lamala. You don't think your kriya shma makes a unique impact on the heavens above? Mashallah nasa came b'kriya shma acheres u'lasam e'olam. Like no kriya shma in history. I know the words have been said. I know it's been said even in the same seat in the same shul. Right? At the same minyan the day before. The exact same time. But it's a different thing. Because it's your neshama. It's in your context. And it's with your kavana. And it's with your, I don't know, whatever brand sitter you're using. Right? It makes it entirely unique in history. It's an amazing and powerful idea. Okay, two lines from the bottom. Chovas ha'eschachus. Boreinu ha'Rav Nassan, of course, Rav Nachman's student, Rav Nassan, kedarcho b'svarav ha'kadoshim, lahotzi mikol davar halacha. Rav Nassan, who in his Lukute halachos, took all of Rav Nachman's ideas and wove together the pnimius and the halacha. And he took the ideas and he taught us how to live them in the most practical of ways. Mapik me'asagos neflos elu, turn the page. Maskonos maisios lavoros adam eskono. He extracted, he derived from this concept of Rabbi Nachman, again, a very practical way that we can live with this idea to serve our Creator. Vahainu. Lischadish b'chol rega v'rega mamish. To live with, again, this sense of renewal in every single second, literally. Because every moment there are new lights, new spiritual energies to be received. There are new fixings to be made. And that means that every second is an opportunity. If I was a Rasha a moment ago, I could be a tzaddik right now. Because every moment is entirely new. Like it says again in Slonimer Svarim, right? That if a person doesn't know how to do a huge avera, and then go daven right after the mincha bekavana, you don't know the first thing about Hasidus. And some versions say you don't know the first thing about Judaism. Why? Because if I believe that Hashem is what? Is literally recreating the world every second, I'm a Briya Chadasha. On the one hand, of course, the moments in my life are connected one to another. On another hand, in a very real way, they're absolutely not. And it's irrelevant what I did a second before. On one level, of course, I have to do tshuva and deal with it. But on a different level, I take a breath. V'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Hashem blows into me a spirit of life. I'm a new person. If a moment ago I decided to be a rebel against God, in this moment I could choose to serve Hashem. And by the way, the nachas ruach I'm about to give Hashem is once in the history of the world. It's like nothing that anyone has ever done. That's very powerful. It's a very powerful idea. B'mamad ze u'bizman ze, in this situation, at this time, shelo hayu kamo mitchilas habriya. No one has ever done this since the beginning of time. I told some of you once, I like to, when I'm in a place that I feel like Jews haven't been, you know, I like to imagine that maybe I'm the first person to ever say, Bereishis bara Elokim eis ha-shamayim ve'eis ha-aretz, in this spot. You're like somewhere in an airport on a, you know, taking a flight and you're transferring to here and you know it's a place where not too many Jews have been. Like the summer when I was in Wyoming with my wife, you know, going for a walk in a mountain trail, you know. Just stop next to a tree and say to the tree, Bereishis bara Elokim eis ha-shamayim ve'eis ha-aretz. Maybe no one's ever told you that, so now you know. Right? So you feel it's a very, I like that experience because it makes like a, to imagine, maybe I'm the first person to ever, the first Jew to ever speak Torah in this spot. Eilu metzios shalom, ve'elu chai l'achriz. Maybe I'm the first one to limba metzios in this spot, in the history, since the world is created. That's such a powerful thing. But Rabbi Nachman is telling us, you don't have to like do it in some funny, weird way like I like to do it. Right? If you learn in this second, yeah, at 9:52 in Washington Heights, on November 25th, the end of the month of Cheshvan, this is also the first Tavshin Pei. This is also the first time that anyone is learning Leket Amarim in your seat at this time in this place, thinking about this idea from Rabbi Nachman. That's also entirely unique. You know, you don't have to go talk to a leaf and say Shema Yisrael while like holding onto a leaf. It's also Gishmak. I recommend it. But you don't have to, like, if we really believe that every second is mamish, a unique world, then it could really wake us up. It could really give us that energy to try a little bit harder. Okay, next paragraph. Keep a devar Hashem shemayim nasu v'rich piv kol tzva'am v'dvarav chayim v'kayamim. With Hashem's speech, He created the heavens and the world and all that is contained within it. And Hashem's words, so to speak, are chayim v'kayamim. Which means Hashem, so to speak, is recreating the world at every moment. He says, Perush Chaim. What does it mean, Chaim? We use the word Chaim to talk about something alive. Right? Hashem is a Elokim Chaim. The Torah is a Torah's Chaim. A living God, a living Torah. What does that mean, a living God, a living Torah? We're the B'nai Kel Chai, we're the children of the living God. What does that mean? What does alive mean? So he says, Chayim is milashon mayim chayim novim. In halachic literature, what are mayim chayim? Water that's alive. What is water that's alive? What does it mean, mayim chayim? Moving water. Right? Moving water. What is the nature of moving water? It means the water that was in front of you a second ago is changing. You're standing looking over this you know, babbling brook or this running stream, and you see that the water just keeps passing you by. It keeps changing every moment. Right? There's a certain constant nature to it, that the water's been flowing in this place for a long time. So there's a certain point of connection connecting all of these waters to one another. At the same time, the water that's passing over that rock that you're standing in front of, as you're standing there watching it, why do people love to like look at that? You know, why is it so soothing for the soul? Because it reminds us of the fact that our own neshama is also experiencing that type of recreation, that renewal, and that possibility to also constantly experience freshness and newness, which our body craves also. Our body craves new experiences. But if I would realize that my spiritual experiences are new, I daven shmoneh esrei, it's so boring. I daven all the time. If you would see it as a new experience, it wouldn't be so boring. Davening wouldn't be so boring. So it's called Mayim Chaim because it's flowing waters. Shehem Parim u'mischadshim. Parim doesn't mean cows. It means like pruravu, right? It's fruitful. It's producing new things. It's in a state of renewal. Ki ba'oraisa bara kutcher b'richu alma. Hashem created the world with Torah. Uvetuvo mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. And in His goodness, He recreates the world all the time. But what does it mean, uvetuvo? In His kindness, He recreates the world all the time? What is tov? Uvetuvo hainu b'torah. Torah is what gives newness to the world. Because the Torah has an endless amount of chiddush. It's unbelievable. It's such a tiny little sefer and it produces so much. less than 6,000 verses in the Chumash. And just walk around the YU library. Everything written there is a byproduct of a phrase, you know, in the Bible. It's Parim B'Rav. It's a Torah S'chaim. It's alive. It's constantly producing new and new and new and new and new and new ideas all the time. So V'tuva Mechadish B'chol Yom Tamid means what? Through Torah Mechadish B'chol Yom Tamid. Hainu B'chidushei De'oraisa. The Chidushim of Torah allow the world to be recreated. When you have a Chiddush, now you understand why the Chidush Arim told that Kotzker Malamed. Make sure the Sfasemis learns how to make Chidushim. Because that's what life's about. That's what we're experiencing, whether we realize it or not. B'chol Yom Mechadish Kodesh Baruch Hu Dvar Halachu B'gan Eden. It says in the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden is coming up with new halachos all the time, and Avram knows what those are. New halachos doesn't mean new simanim or se'ifim in the Shulchan Aruch. It just means new ways to serve Hashem. Halachos, halichos olam lo. Ways to be connected to God. U'mizen nimshachin kol achidushin da'oraisa. And from Hashem's constant chidushim that Hashem is creating, so to speak, we are able to come up with our own chidushim to tap into that. And when tzaddikim have the ability to literally manipulate nature, they do throw through these new understandings of Torah. A tzaddik is able to do things and manipulate time and place and nature because he's mekusher to that moment as that unique moment in time. Most of us look at life and we see the same thing over and over again. The tzaddik sees it, you know, with eyes that see the possibility of renewal. So when Eliezer Eved Avram needs to travel quickly, he's able to blink and wake up, you know, open his eyes in another place because the whole world was just recreated. Why can't I teleport? You know? Why can't I just come to the well? Like Rashi says, Kvitza Sadarach. How is the Baal Shem Tov getting to all these different places? You know, close your eyes. When you open your eyes, you'll be in another place. How did Tzaddikim do that? The answer is they were tapped into the renewal of creation. And he says, look in the Degel Machaneh Ephraim and Parshas Bo, which Amir Hashem will get to, and you'll see more of this idea. Okay, let's turn the page. I'm going to skip a little bit. Let's jump to page 123. Okay, top paragraph. Top complete paragraph. V'Rav Chaim Vital in the Eitz Chaim Shar Gimel Perek Beis Kosov Ein Tzadik Doma L'Chavero V'Ein Bria Doma L'Chaverta. No two tzadikim are alike. Okay. But no two anythings are alike. No two creations are alike. V'chol nivram kulam litzorech gavoa. Next time you see a little anthill, you know, with there's tons of little ants running around, think about how each one, in its own way, is created to give kavod to the creator of the world. And even though it looks like a whole swarm of, you know, of little bugs or little flies or little whatever, or it looks like, you know, you're looking over a grassy field and it just looks like an infinite number of the same green blades of grass, each one is its own world. And each one has its own purpose. And each one has a mission statement. It's here to serve the Creator. They're not all drawn from the same spiritual source. And they're not all here to achieve the same thing. So you're wondering, what difference does it make? Maha hevdel between this blade of grass and the blade of grass right next to it. And the answer is, I have no idea. But when the Gemara in Sukkah says that there were Tanayim who understood the conversations of the trees, they knew what those two blades of grass were talking about. They were chavrusas. And they were talking about different ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't see it, but we have to at least know it and apply it to ourselves. So their tikkun is not shove. V'titakein hachel b'na b'ktoires, mashalot titakein halavona. And of the various spices of the ketores, the nice lashon, right, the chelbona, which is a foul-smelling spice, and the lavona, which is a beautiful spice, they both play a very important role. The ketores requires the best of spices, and it requires the spice that on its own you want nothing to do with. Everything has its place. There's good, there's bad, there's middle of the road, and there's endless madregos in positive levels, there's endless madregos in negative levels, and everything has its place in the world. To think that God needs to do repeats would be a very offensive thing. You don't think Hashem could come up with new ideas? Every person's entirely unique. Everything in the world is entirely... Hashem never did the same thing twice. That's so much a part of the expression of His oneness. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad means Hashem never repeated anything. People struggle so much sometimes with individuality. I want to feel like an individual. You are an individual. Your life is perfectly tailor-made for you. People are trying to how do I position myself to feel chashiv? You're chashiv. Hashem made you one of a kind. You're chashiv. That is your chashivas. Yeah, but people don't recognize. Who cares what people recognize? Don't be a bald guy, but who cares if no one ever heard of you? You're chashiv. You're a Jew. You exist. Hashem made you. With your color hair and your color eyes, and your, whatever. Your way of thinking. Everything about you is entirely unique. Hashem never repeated anything. Your story, like I told you, the Chiddush Urim points to his son. Oh, Sas Emes is going to be a big Chiddush. He was a big Chiddush. The Sas Emes in his 35 years of leadership made Gerent of the biggest Hasidus. It was a big Chiddush. He had amazing Torah insights. Guess what? You're also a big Chiddush. Chaver, you're a big Chiddush. Anyone who's falling asleep now doesn't believe in that you're big enough Chiddush. You're a big Chiddush. The world needs you right here, right now, exactly as you are. Yeah, I'm a regular guy. No, you're not a regular guy. There's no such thing as a regular guy. Hate to break it to you. Hope that's not too much pressure. You're not a regular guy. You're a big Chiddush. Mamash a Chiddush of creation. Shezehu miyuchad bebriyah, says Rabbi Nachman. That you're a one-of-a-kind creation and there's no one like you in the history of the world. Okay? Now, this next paragraph is going to blow your mind. Okay, so please listen carefully and pay close attention. Shemati b'shem ha'admor harav ha'tzadik rav Avram Chaim Levin, who was known as the Malach. He was called the Malach in the previous generation. Shepam pona el mikorvav v'omar lehem. One time he turned to some of his people around him, of his relatives, and said to them, Havav er'el lachem dover chodesh v'nifla shelo hayil olam. I want to show you something, I'm going to reveal to you something right now that the world has never seen. They're all excited. V'shuv lo yihye od lanetzach. And never again in the history of the world will this exist. They were so excited. You can imagine, Here's a big tzaddik who's about to show them something that never was and never will be again. What does he pull out? Uvachein hu hotzi lehem tapuach. He pulls out an apple. And he says, this apple is a one of a kind. It's its only apple in history. This exact apple will never exist again. It never existed prior to this. This apple which I'm about to eat never was. And after I eat it, it will not exist again. And he concluded, so you take that apple and you mumble through your ta'et or you forget to make a bracha, even worse. This apple, the opportunity of this apple has been lost forever. Wow. Talk about a way to slow down and make your brachos with a little more kavana. No one will ever have this apple again. You're either going to eat it with a bracha, acknowledging the creator of the universe, and elevate this apple to the highest heights. Yeah? The apple's about to be consumed, about to die al Kiddush Hashem, about to eat this apple. Yeah? It's a great opportunity for the apple to ascend to the higher realms if you have the right kavana. Uvamita tova meruba. Of course, if you could destroy the apple by eating it without a bracha, mida tova meruba, how much more so? Imavarech alav birchasa ve'uya b'kavana. If you make a bracha with proper kavana, va'ochlo b'mesinus, uvederech eretz, and you eat it like a mensch, you eat it slowly, and you're attentive to eating it, and you eat it with derech eretz, And then you use that energy, that nourishment from the apple, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nimsa sha'asa tikun miyuchad v'nitzchi l'fiya eis v'azman v'apri. Then you are metaking something, you fix something in this world in a unique way that will last for eternity in accordance with that time and that place and that fruit. Uvedavar hashayach lo dafka. And it wasn't by chance that that apple came your way, because Hashem believed that you could make a count for this apple. Such a powerful idea. Again, it's overwhelming. It's a little overwhelming. Because we feel like, wow, there's so many things, so many opportunities that slipped right through my hands that I literally destroyed without even realizing it. But it's an awesome opportunity. It's a huge opportunity. And it's a way of just making life so alive. And again, if the world is created by looking into a Torah Schayim, and Chayim means Hischachus, and always a sense of really being energized. So then, yeah. So then if I tap into that, if I'm connected to that, so then the world is created through a Torah Chayim, by an Elokim Chayim. That means life is really alive. It's possible to really feel life in this world. But then he says in the next two paragraphs, which I'm going to skip for now, he talks about how literally the breakdown of the moments of the day and the night are very, very precise. Just turn to the last paragraph in the piece, turn the page. And we'll end with the last paragraph in the piece on Kuf Chav Dalet. Just one more famous teaching of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, second paragraph. Shesod inyanim niflam elu hayagolui lefanav. Rabbi Nachman, who again understood the precise realities of these things. He understood how every second of day and night has a different kavana. He would breathe those different breaths with kavana. Right? Our basic kavana that we're working on today is to just be aware of the fact that every second of my life is a unique opportunity. Rabbi Nachman was literally being mechave in different shemos as he was breathing. I mean, it's obviously a very lofty level. But Rabbi Nachman, who all of these secrets were revealed to him, he understood them be'emes, the deepest understanding of Kabbalah and Pnimius. Hayaragil lidaber harbe mi'ischachus. Rabbi Nachman always spoke about ischachus. V'chein amar, and he used to say, al tav ich fint, which means, hazikna snuya alai. Yeah, old age, being old, is repulsive to me. What Rabbi Nachman have against old people? You know, anything against old people. Rabbi Nachman had a taina against people who acted old. You can be an old person and be very, very youthful. You can live with a lot of passion, a lot of life. Or you could be an 18-year-old guy who's just like half asleep most of the day. Chaval. That's Rabbi Nachman hates that. What's wrong with you? You have such opportunity. How could you sleep away your life? So Rabbi Nachman says, I hate old age. I hate the concept of people acting old. I think I told you one time. I once met a student of Rabbi Shlomo Freifuf. He's away and is relatively young. So he said to me, I was saying, tell me about Rabbi Freifuf. So he says to me, man, Rabbi Freifeld was the youngest person I ever met. Freifeld was older than him. He was a student of Rabbi Freifeld. So Rabbi Freifeld was literally the youngest person I ever met. And he said, I have grandkids who are older than Rabbi Freifeld. I have 5-year-old grandkids. What did he mean by that? I knew exactly what he meant by that. Because Rabbi Freifeld's one of my heroes, and I study any Torah or stories of his life that I can get my hands on. Rabbi Freifeld was a very youthful person. And you could have a 5-year-old kid who's like, schlepping his way through life. He's krechsing like an alter yid. It's not so bad, little kid, You don't have it so bad. What are you schlepping about? You're a young kid. Get all the energy in the world. Right? So Nachman hated the people who had a mindset of being old, who didn't live with this sense of ischachus. V'shetzrichim l'chayos tamid b'ischachus. V'amar shehu mischadesh tamid. So like we started with, Rabbi Nachman said, I am always in a state of renewal to such a degree that I literally don't take a breath without finding something new from one breath to the next. So I bless us. I bless you. When you daven mincha today, you should think, this is the first time this tefillah is ever being davened. When you eat a slice of pizza for lunch, this slice of pizza is the only slice of pizza that ever was or ever will be exactly as it is right now. And to be able to make a bracha. You don't have to necessarily be machavin shemos on every bite. We're not holding by that. We don't eat like tzaddikim. but a little bit to pause and to appreciate the unique opportunity that Hashem is giving you in every single second of your life. Okay? All right, it's a powerful Torah. It's very powerful.